Chapter 11. While Elliot and Willa talked, Nori waited for Elliot to show up to walk to school with her. She waited, and waited, and waited. So did Aunt Margot. They were going to surprise Elliot with a flight over the town. But Elliot never showed up. Later, when Nori arrived at school on her own, she was worried. Was Elliot home sick? Had something happened to him on his way to her house? She worried while she put her stuff in her locker. She worried while she got a drink of water at the invisible water fountain. She worried while she dodged flyers and stepped over a group of fluxers who were practicing hamsters in the hallways. But when she entered the UDM classroom and saw that Elliot was already there, her worry turned into something else. She set down her poster board and marched over to him. "Elliot Cohen, I waited and waited for you!" Elliot looked startled.
I came to school early," he said.
"How's I supposed to know that?"
"I don't know," Elliot said feebly. He glanced over at Willa, who was stroking Carrot's ears. "It's not like we signed a contract saying we'd walk to school together every single day."
Sebastian looked over at them.
"People," he said. "Your voices are making very sharp sound waves, and they are hurting my eyes."
Nori ignored him.
"But Elliot, Aunt Margot was going to fly us to school. She was going to tour us all around town before we got here. I arranged it specially for this morning as a surprise."
Elliot glanced at Willa.
"Again. I'm sorry."
Nori seethed. Why did he keep glancing at Willa? Was he walking to school with her now?
"Good morning, class," Ms. Starr called, striding into the classroom and closing the door. "Who's ready for some semaphore work?"
Everyone groaned. Semaphore work meant communicating, or trying to communicate, with someone by waving flags.
"Pair up, kids, and grab a flag," Ms. Starr went on. "As always, try to connect with your partner without words. I'm taping the list of signals we've practiced here on the bulletin board. Nonverbal communication is a skill that will help you with your magic."
"Elliot," Willa said. "Partners?"
"Sure," he answered.
Nori's mouth fell open.
Willa knew Nori was upset about Elliot missing the flying outing. She knew. And she still asked him to be her partner? And he still said yes? Where was the consideration?
"Nori, partners?" Pepper asked.
Nori turned.
"Of course," she told Pepper loudly. "I would love to be your semaphore partner, Pepper. You are a good friend. I always have fun with you."
Pepper looked at her funny.
"Why are you using a robot voice?"
"What? I'm not."
Nori grabbed a flag and pulled Pepper to the middle of the floor.
"Let's communicate non-verbally. Come on."
Then she gave Willa the stink eye. At lunch, Elliot ate with Willa. Okay, Elliot ate with Willa and Bax and Marigold and Sebastian. But not with Nori. Nori was on duty for keeping Andres safe on his leash, so she ate with him and Pepper. At recess, Elliot played soccer with Willa, Bax, and some kids from the fuzzy class, while Nori, Pepper, and Andres hung out at the swing set.
Grrr.
Still, Nori tried to look on the bright side. She and Pepper each had a swing, and two swings plus Andres meant they could play a game they had invented after their trip to Dragonhaven a couple of weeks ago. Swinging meant Pepper and Nori could pretend to fly too. In the game, Andres was a flyer named Lars Ernesto Montmorency. The two girls were flying dragons who helped him rescue animals in peril. Nori was a blurper dragon, of course. Her name was Rocket. Pepper was a luminous dragonette named Pingleton. Anyway, it was a pretty fun recess after all. But when they went indoors, Ms. Starr told everyone to work on their Bing projects. Nori's insides coiled.
She hadn't yet told Willa about the change in topic.
"I solved our boringness problem," she told Willa brightly as she got out the poster board and put it between them on the table. "We're changing subjects, and it's going to be so much better. Listen, are you ready?"
Willa didn't say anything, so Nori pressed on.
"We're doing Gertrude Raspberry, the amazing fluxer."
Willa made a sour face.
"I found some more books on storms," she complained. "I was going to read them."
"Did you read them yet?" Nori actually hoped Willa hadn't.
"Not much of them," Willa admitted.
"Great! Gertrude is way more exciting than weather, and she'll make a much better poster. There's a ton of information about her, so we can have extra sources and get an O. Don't you want to get an O?"
Willa looked confused.
"But we started the poster board already, with the glitter.
I don't think we're allowed to take a new one."
"Oh my gosh, it'll be fine," Nori snapped. "What's your problem? You hadn't read anything for the weather project anyway."
Willa flushed. She blinked her eyes. Nori knew that blink. It meant she had better be gentle, because if Willa started raining, everyone's posters would be ruined. She placed her palms on the table and made a big effort to soften her tone.
"Do you know about Gertrude? She's really awesome."
"I know a little," Willa said.
"Yay! That means it won't be hard. We can write facts about her life and make a map of Gertrude and Zephaniah's journey from Florida to Dunwiddle. We'll paint a polar bear here where the glitter is, so the glitter can still be a snowstorm. And we can use the same piece of poster board, see?"
Willa nodded. Nori refrained from mentioning the water-damaged corner.
"Bygones," she told herself grimly.
"All right, then, let's get started," she said. "Our poster has to be finished by Friday."
"I know the due date," Willa said.
Nori mentally reviewed the week ahead.
"I got books about her from the Dunwiddle Library this weekend. We have at least 5 sources. We'll have most of tomorrow to work on it. Wednesday we have our field trip to the Bing Museum, so we might not get time then, but we can finish up on Thursday and Friday."
"Elliot and I have Aquamerge tutoring on Tuesday and Thursday," said Willa.
Who cared about Aquamerge? Tutoring had nothing to do with this project. Why did Willa always bring up tutoring with Elliot? Big deal. She got to hang out with Elliot in the pool. What a show-off.
"I have a really good idea," Nori told Coach Vitamin at the end of the day.
"Tell me," Coach said. He tossed a piece of raw broccoli into the air and caught it in his mouth.
"Tomorrow we should work on my squippy."
"What's your squippy?"
"A squid puppy. I've done it before by accident, but I don't have it under control yet."
"Nori, you can't play kitten ball as a squid puppy."
"I think practicing other animals would be good for me."
"Other kitten variations, sure. Keep your head in the game."
Nori thought fast.
"What about a squitten? A squid kitten could be good for kitten ball."
Coach looked unconvinced. "How do you figure that?"
"Coach, come on, I could use my tentacles. I could suction my opponents with all my extra limbs."
Coach wrinkled his brow.
"Think big, Coach," Nori said. 8 legs instead of 4? Imagine what I could accomplish."
"Are you sure you can do a squitten?" Coach asked. No, Nori was not.
"Absolutely," she said.
He scratched his bald head. "Then what the heck? Sure, tomorrow we'll work on your squitten."
Nori clapped. "Let's meet at the pool."
"The pool? What pool?"
"The high school pool. Some of the other UDM kids are in there at the same time we meet for tutoring, so I'm sure we can swim then too. I'll tell Bax. We'll bring bathing suits."
Bax and Nori both had Coach for a tutor. "Or you could practice squippy in a bucket," Coach said. "If Bax fluxes into a rock while we're at the pool, he'll sink."
No, a bucket's no good," Nori said quickly. "You can help Bax work on something that floats, like a boat or a rubber ducky. And you can show us how to do a fish. You can do a fish, right, Coach?"
Coach puffed up his chest. "Can I do a fish? Of course I can do a fish. Fish are complicated, but I can do them." He made a fist and drove it into his opposite palm. Nori gave him a thumbs up and hurried out the door before he changed his mind.